When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday, everyone. Joe Madden here. This is Game Time Decisions. I'm joined by Tom Vecchio over here on the grid. We've got a loaded day out there on the hardwood, plus some action on the ice. And of course, we're going to be breaking down this weekend's divisional matchups, everything that's happening out there. So we're going to jump right into it. Tom, how's your day been treating you so far?
I'm doing good. Of course, we have a loaded day today. Like you said, a loaded weekend of football. It's a great time to be a sports fan. There's so much to get to. We obviously have a number of guests joining us over the next few hours to break down a little bit of golf action with Brady Cannon. We're going to get Mark Zinno in here for NBA and NFL. Maybe a look at the college game on Monday, the championship. I'm ready to get rolling. Let's start on the hardwood with some NBA tonight.
Yeah, let's start on the hardwood. Some great games out there. We have a total of 9 NBA games today. It kicks off at 7:10 Eastern with the matchup between the Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics. Now, the Boston Celtics, a large favorite in this one, Tom. They're laying 14.5 points, and we're seeing that total sit around 213.5. You're actually going to have to lay some juice to the over in this matchup. I'm leaning for this one to go over that total. Do you have any looks in this matchup here at all?
The Celtics are just getting too much credit. And granted, like, we know that they're awesome, but they're just not covering these large spreads. So, you know, a Magic team that's a little bit desperate, obviously, given the injury situation that they've had over the past few seasons, past few months, obviously, with Banchero coming back. The Magic have to put up a fight in this one, considering where they are in the standings. And yeah, the Celtics have been super up and down as of late, like win one, lose one. I can't lay 14.5 in a regular season game. So give me the Magic in this one. I would say this one tends towards the over, but I'm not super in love with it.
I love to hear that you believe in Magic, Tom. I didn't know that about you, but it's going to be a good night in that game. And then the next game kicking off at 7:40 will be the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, they're taking on the New York Knicks. The Knicks rolling in as the favorite here at home, laying 4.5 points. Now, looking at that total, the total is a 219, and we've seen a little bit of movement in this line. They were a 5.5 point favorite, the New York Knicks, originally in this one, and we did see them beat the Minnesota Timberwolves by 26 points back in December. I do think Anthony Towns will come out nice and strong in this matchup. I'm expecting him to be able to hit his three. So when I look at this game, I really do think the Knicks have every ability to win and cover that spread at home. I'm going to look at Carl Anthony Towns for his threes tonight. Now, you can take him for 2+ threes, Tom. That's coming in at -145, but I love firing up to 3+ threes. That's coming in at +200. I just think he has so much ability. I don't think the Minnesota Timberwolves will have an answer for him, and he's going to be shooting a lot from the edge. So even though the Timberwolves have a strong defense, they're stronger for the two-pointers than they are from those deep balls. So give me Carl Anthony Towns here.
So I don't mind that. I really like Julius Randle tonight. Obviously, his return to the Garden. His points prop has been moving around a little bit. It's back at 19.5. It was up at 20.5. Earlier, it's at 19.5, -115 to the over. Obviously, returning to the Garden is something that we're not just, you know, Randle specifically returning to the Garden or any player, but just going up against his former team at that home for his former team is something that I love. And Randle legitimately is going to be taking his normal, you know, 15, 16 field goal attempts on a nightly basis. I want to see him push that a little bit higher. Obviously, he wasn't super happy with the trade over the summer with Towns going to the Knicks in place of Randle, but over 19.5, -115, I can get behind that in Julius Randle. A little bit of revenge narrative. I also kind of like him for First Basket tonight if we want to get a little bit crazy.
That first basket prop, something I don't play enough, Tom. I love looking at that market when someone mentions it. So I'm going to tail you on that. We have, like I said, 9 games out there. You don't have to bet on every game, but one game that I'm feeling pretty certain on is a fade of my Toronto Raptors. My Toronto Raptors tonight, 11.5-point dog versus the Milwaukee Bucks. And it just doesn't feel like enough points here for the Milwaukee Bucks. I expect them to run away with this game. The Toronto Raptors have been absolutely struggling, to say the least, this season, and I don't trust them here to come out against this fast-paced, high-scoring offense of the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the Raptors fall flat tonight. Anything in this one for us, Tom?
Didn't the Raptors, they just won the other night against the Celtics, right? Isn't that the game that we spoke about when we did our sports millions picks and Jakob Poeltl went over on the rebound? So, you know, maybe this is a bit of a letdown game for them after, you know, a huge win against a great team. 11.5 points probably isn't enough going up against the Bucks. And, you know, ultimately, like, the Raptors are what they are. 2-game win streak, I think, is more of a flash in the pan rather than like a sign of things to come for the Raptors. So I think it would be Bucks in this game.
Yeah, it's got to be the Bucks, and I'm willing to lay the 11.5, Tom. Like I said, I just don't trust the Raptors at all out here on the court. And, you know, Poeltl looked really strong. He's so strong at getting those rebounds. So if you want to look at his rebound props tonight, I think it is a solid way to go. I think the big man's going to give it all he has out there, but I just don't see them being able to do enough and get enough baskets in there. You know, Barrett is strong. Scotty Barnes is strong. Scotty Barnes is really strong for those assists, but I don't trust them. One team I kind of trust, and one player I kind of trust, though, tonight, looking at the New Orleans Pelicans coming out here versus Utah Jazz. The Jazz are 11-point dog as well. So a lot of big dogs on the slate tonight. This one has a total of 231. The Pelicans, you know, it's minus 650 on the money line. I don't know who's backing that. There's minus 700s out there as well. But Zion Williamson back in the lineup for the Pelicans. I do think he comes out nice and strong in this one, Tom. We look at the Jazz. This defense is allowing, 117.6 points per game? Zion Williamson should be able to go over his point total. That's 23.5. What are your thoughts on him?
I think that's fine. I'm seeing 22.5 for his points. So, of course, shot for the best line available. I see 22.5 minus 106 to the over. You know, this game, you know, when I'm looking at it, McCollum, you know, kind of like I'm under 19.5 points. It is sitting at minus 128. It's a little bit of juice there. You know, getting Zion back into the offense after he's been, you know, he's suspended for a game, whatever it might be. But getting him going in the offense as like kind of their main engine in the offense, I think, is a little bit more important than DeJounte Murray or CJ McCollum taking a few extra shots. I would like to see those shots go to Zion. So Zion over, McCollum under, in what is ultimately a pretty easy matchup for them.
Okay, I like where you're going there. I'm not sure if you have anything with the Denver Nuggets. They're taking on the Miami Heat tonight. Miami coming in as a dog at home. You know I love a home dog, Tom. They're plus 124 straight up on the money line, or you could grab them plus the 2.5. I love what we've seen with Tyler Hero out there on the court for them. You can look at his points tonight. This one has a total of 227.5, and I'm kind of on the fence if I'm going to get there with the over, because I do believe the Heat will be able to put up the points tonight. I don't think the Nuggets will be able to slow him down. And Jokic, a game time decision here for them. Any thoughts on Denver and what we're going to see out of them versus the Miami Heat tonight?
Well, I would love to know if Jokic is playing. And we should note that Jimmy Butler is expected to play and is expected to start. Obviously, tumultuous time there in Miami for Jimmy Butler. So I don't mind looking to a Jimmy Butler prop, but I'm not thrilled with this game, like having 230 total points, especially if Jokic doesn't play. So kind of just up in the air for me right now.
Yeah, when we look at Jimmy Butler, his point total tonight, you guys, is sitting at 15 plus points at plus 100 if you want to jump on him. Bam Adebayo coming in at 15 plus at minus 140. And then Tyler Hero, I really do like him for the 25 plus points coming in at plus 100. I think you can ult it 30 plus at plus 260. But Tom Vecchio and myself will be back in the next couple of minutes here on Good Time Decisions. We'll see you after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Game Time Decisions over here on the grid. I'm Joe Madden. I'm joined by Tom Vecchio. We started that NBA slate and we will come back to it. But Tom, we've got some NHL on the board today. We've only got two games out there, but still a lot of ways for us to make some money. So the Vegas Golden Knights will be taking on the Carolina Hurricanes and the Pittsburgh Penguins are taking on the Buffalo Sabres. Let's jump into this first matchup here. 7:09 Eastern, the puck will drop between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Carolina Hurricanes. This one has a total of 5.5, and the juice has been ticking up as the day has gone on. It was right around minus 120 to the over earlier in the day. It's now minus 130 over the 5.5. I still think it's a solid way to go. I want to hear what you're looking at in this one. We've also got the Canes, the favorite at home at minus 152.
Yeah, I'm looking at the over on this game. Kochekov in net for the Canes has been okay this year. He's had some like really up and down games for, I'm going to say, like the quality of prospect that he is or was. Like, we have seen some really shaky games from him, you know, dating back even before he got injured, like giving up 3-4 goals to the Blue Jackets. Granted, they are much better now than they were at that point in the season, but it's just a level of inconsistency that I just don't trust. I think the Canes are a good team overall, but the offense on both teams should shine. So over 5.5, I think, is absolutely the play in that game. When it comes to the Pens at the Sabres, also, you could find the number at 6 or 6.5, whatever it might be. Over the 6 is where I got it. That's obviously a little bit safer. You just get the push of an N6. But specifically in that game, Sidney Crosby, over 2.5 shots on goal, sitting at minus 120. He's coming off a game where, you know, he had 0 shots. I just like buying into good players in bounce back spots. The Pens, they're absolutely reeling right now. They need to start picking up wins if they're going to stay in the wild card race, and it's going to come from the great Sidney Crosby. So give me him over 2.5 shots tonight. What do you got?
Oh, I love that you're going there with Sidney Crosby, because I actually think he can get those points on the board tonight as well. I looked at Sidney Crosby for 2+ points in this matchup versus the Buffalo Sabres. I just don't trust the Sabres defensively. That's what it comes down to in this one, Tom. And we look at this team and such high hopes for this team with Lankinen in goal that maybe this team could finally make that push to get into the playoffs. This team hasn't been there in, what, 14 seasons? So definitely heartbreaking there in Buffalo. They just can't get things done. This team is used to not getting into the playoffs, and I don't think things change. They're just sitting looking inside, like looking inside out of that wild card spot, and now they're minus 118 favorite here at home. I don't love that either. I find a struggle here to bet the Buffalo Sabres. I know Tage Thompson has really been stepping up, but it's a hard one for me. I looked at this game and I thought both teams to score in the first period. We know both of these teams have struggles in net. Tristan Jarry for the Penguins has been sent down to the AHL, which was a complete shocker for me, but he hasn't been stepping up this season. And then Novakovic in net. I do think both of these teams will look to get up in that first period. Do you ever bet the both teams to score in the first period? Because it's coming in tonight at plus 162. You could take the over 1.5, but it's minus 130, Tom. I don't like laying that kind of juice.
I mean, the both teams to score, especially when we're dealing with, you know, it's a different how you want to approach it. Like, are we having two high-powered offenses that we potentially have with the Canes and Vegas, or we just have two bad defenses as we do with Pittsburgh and Buffalo? So, you know, over 1.5 obviously is the safer play, but you do have to lay that juice, like you said. And if you don't want to do that, I'm totally on board with that. Both teams to score, you get that nice plus money. Not expecting much out of, I mean, not just Nedeljkovic, but just the Pens defense overall. And then the Sabres have been a complete mess this entire year. So both teams to score plus 162. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go there with that one. And I know that you said you like the over 5.5 with Vegas and the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. I think that one has a possibility of going to overtime too. With us both liking the over, with I'm liking the overtime, is there any players that you're looking at that you've really circled in this game to come out nice and strong? Because Jordan Staal here of the Canes has been really strong as of late. He scored in, what, 3 of the last 4. We've had Barbashev on the other side. So playmakers on both sides of the puck here.
Yeah, I haven't dug into too many player props for this game. We have too many options, and it gets to a certain point where, like, I don't always know where the shots are going to be funneled, which is the main market that I bet for NHL, besides money lines or regulation money lines, I should say. Sometimes we just don't know where the shots are going to be funneled, where Marty Nagy started off the year super strong for the Canes. He's kind of cooled off since then. We see some up-and-down games from Svechnikov, where I think he should be a high-volume shooter every single night, but that just doesn't always appear to be the case. The safest answer would just be going to Sebastian Aho, their top-line center, just get 3 shots on goal. It's what he should be doing. So Aho over 2.5 at minus 102 is probably the best bet that I would go for the Canes tonight.
Okay, I love where you're going there with Sebastian Aho. He's been so strong on the ice. I want to throw something at you. Something that I normally don't bet over on FanDuel, but because I'm seeing the goals come in, it's a Friday out up there on the ice, and we know not a lot of defense is played on a Friday. There's the Olt Daily total goals scored, Tom. So when we look at both of these games, this is the sum of both of those games. Do you think we could get 13 plus goals tonight? Because 13 plus is coming in at plus 106. You can't go under 13. You're going to lay juice.
Right. Then 14 plus, plus 164. So the Sabres Pens, I already said it like over six. So if we get over six, pushes it to 7-3-3, you get that fourth. So it's, you know, seven goals there, 4-3 final. Doesn't matter who wins that game. I just don't know. And then the other game is 5.5. If it pushes to six, we'd be sitting at 7-6 against the 13. Maybe we get that one extra goal. I could see 13, obviously. Like you said, the minus 162 for 12-plus goals is pretty reasonable given the fact of what we should be seeing. But 13, I think I'm on board with.
Yeah, I like the 13 as well. Plus 106 to the 13-plus goals on both games on the ice combined, you guys. If you want to fire that up to 14-plus at plus 164, not a terrible look. Tom, just quick. We're coming up against a break. What's your favorite bet out there on the ice tomorrow? Because I know you've already circled one twice.
Yeah, that's getting in early on the Devils to win in regulation or the three-way money line. It was sitting at minus 130. They're coming off, I want to say, a little bit of a tough loss last night to the Leafs. The Flyers coming off a win against the Isles. I just don't think the Flyers are a good team. And the Devils at home, I'll take them early. It's a 12:30 Eastern start.
Okay, you guys, we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more action out there on the hardwood and get you up to date with that. And then we'll have Mark Zinno joining us after the next break. So make sure you don't go anywhere. Tom Vecchio and myself breaking it all down here over on the grid. So we'll be back in the next couple minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Game Time Decisions over here on the grid. It's time to jump in to some sports millions pick'ems. Tom, we've got great divisional matchups this weekend. I know we're going to jump into this matchup here with the Eagles versus the Rams. Start looking at some higher or lowers for our sports millions picks. Firstly, I want to know, what are you expecting out of this game? We know everyone seems to be really low on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles after what we saw last week, even though they're able to get the win, and lots of hype over the Rams with what they were able to do versus the Minnesota Vikings. But are you expecting both of these teams to come out similar to how they did last weekend?
I'm not expecting a whole lot of points overall in this game. So that's where like a lot of things start with me. It's just, you know, what am I expecting overall for the game script, the game flow? Eagles, obviously, they like to run the ball. Not expecting a whole lot of passing from them. Obviously, we kind of saw that on display last week with A.J. Brown with just the 10 yards. Hurts looked okay last week. From the Rams side of things, we know where the ball should be going ultimately. Like, it should be going to Kyren Williams. It should be going to Puka Nacua. And it should be going to Cooper Kupp. You know, granted, he didn't have a huge game last week against the Vikings. But with that said, you know, the Eagles are a very, very tough defense. Combined with the weather that we could be seeing in that game, this leads me to Puka Nacua lower than 86.5 receiving yards. And I know, you know, people might be looking back at the game that they had in week 12 and say, wow, you know, he torched them for 117 yards. But the Eagles defense is much better to close out the season, you know, than they were at the middle portion of the season. So I just don't know if we're going to be seeing a ton of yards go to one specific player for the Rams this weekend. I just can't get behind essentially pushing to 90 yards for Puka Nacua when the Eagles defense is tightening up as the year has gone on. They've held TJ McLaurin in check for the majority when we date back to the regular season. Obviously, they played the Cowboys, and the Cowboys weren't at full health. They didn't have CeeDee Lamb, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just not expecting a whole lot of passing in this game from either team.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a hard ask here, right? Looking at the weather here, Matt Stafford, we've seen all of those trends with him in very cold weather, like he'll be facing here. We're going to have that snow. So I love where you're going with Puka Nacua, even though I don't like betting a lot of lowers. I think it is the way to lock in from him. When I was looking at this matchup, I really do think Jalen Hurts, even though he wasn't looking 100% in that last game, will come out stronger in this. I'm leaning towards him for the rushing touchdown. We know how strong that tush push has been for this team. So if I was going to lock in anything in this one, it would be Jalen Hurts higher than a half a rushing touchdown in this game. But I want to talk a little bit of NBA, and we have a matchup tonight between the Lakers and the Nets. And looking at this one between the Lakers and the Nets, I'm expecting Austin Reeves to come out really strong in this game. Anthony Davis and LeBron James just not at 100% out there. And I'm just looking at his higher or lowers here for Austin Reeves. Let me just pull it up. We're getting a number of 2.5 for his three-pointers, Tom. I'm looking for him to go higher than that. His ability to hit these threes is so strong. And with AD and LeBron not 100%, for the Lakers to be able to come out strong enough in this game to get to where the books expect, Reeves is going to have to be able to sink those threes from deep. And we know he's been able to do this. Versus the Nets in his career, he's had four games versus them. The first game versus the Nets, he wasn't able to get higher than the 2.5, only hitting 2. But in the other three games, he was able to do so, hitting 4 in 2 occasions and 6 in the other. And I do think in this game here, he could easily hit 3, 4. I even see him hitting 5, Tom.
Yeah, against this Nets defense, a lot of that is possible. They, you know, I know they won the other night against the Trailblazers, but still giving up a ton of points, and they got absolutely torched against the Clippers. You know, we were held to 67 points on offense. They're giving up 120 plus, whatever it might be. So going up against the defense for the Nets, any player has the ability to knock down 3, 4, 3. So we got a little bit more to get to in terms of the rest of the weekend slate. We have some more info on Sports Millions coming up, Joe.
Check out Sports Millions Social Casino, featuring classic slots and brand new game concepts. The Social Casino features the opportunity to win large sweepstake coins, and the games are always free to enter. Go play now at sportsmillions.com/social-casino. That's sportsmillions.com/social-casino. Okay, Tom, we're going to be coming up against a little bit of a break here. But before we do, Sebastian Aho, it seems easy to go higher than the 2.5 shots on goal. I know you were liking him earlier. That's coming, yeah, the higher for the Canes?
Yep, absolutely. Would you go there?
Okay, guys, we'll be back after the break. Mark Zinno will be joining us here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday, everyone. It's Game Time Decisions over here on the grid. Joe Madden here, joined by Tom Vecchio, as we welcome in our friend Mark Zinno. Mark, we've got a loaded day out there on the hardwood, and let's jump straight into it. I know you're looking at the matchup between OKC and the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks, the dog at home, 7.5-point dog, total of 225.5. Firstly, how you're doing? And secondly, what are you liking in this matchup?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. As always, I appreciate it. I mean, look, this is pure situational here, right? Oklahoma City coming off that huge win last night at home against Cleveland. They dumped 134 on them. You know, it's got to be a little bit of a letdown spot coming off that win last night. They're still going to be without Isaiah Hartenstein in this game. No Chet Holmgren, no A.J. Mitchell. I mean, look, you know, they've had a bunch of guys who are not healthy. And you look at Dallas. I know they're without Luka, so they're going to be shorthanded. And Kyrie is a question mark at this point in time. We'll find out within the next hour if he's going to play. Look, obviously, if he's not in, I would probably walk away from this. But, again, this is a Dallas team that eliminated them last year in the postseason. And this is the first game of these two teams in Dallas this year. The first two games were played in Oklahoma City. They split them both. I just think, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a letdown here for Oklahoma City playing back-to-back nights. Dallas obviously didn't play last night, and so they've had an extra night of rest, and I think situationally here, Dallas will be able to keep this thing tight. I don't know if they can win this game, but 7.5 felt a little bit too thick for me to lay with Oklahoma City on the night, second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I'm on the under on this game, and it's, you know, for a lot of the same reasons. We also have seen Dallas's offensive efficiency drop. And like you said, this is a bit of a letdown spot after a huge win for them last night. So I'm on the under, and I can definitely see Dallas either keeping it close or coming away with the win. Let's turn to football. What's your favorite game of the weekend? Because I'm feeling some unders this weekend, as we saw all of last weekend, but I think the unders will come into play, especially the weather between Baltimore and Buffalo. 51.5 just seems way too high for me.
Yeah, again, I mean, look, I like the first half under 24.5 in that Buffalo and Baltimore game. I mean, okay. Look, it takes a little while for these guys to get adjusted to that kind of weather. And I would tend to think both of these teams are going to be running the football early, given the fact that the weather is going to be a little bit of an issue. It may be snowing. You know, they're getting about 18-mile-an-hour winds in this thing. I mean, you know, it could get a little bit nasty. We won't really know until closer to kickoff how this goes. But, you know, I hold to a pretty stiff maxim of if it ain't going over early, it probably ain't going over late. You know, I'd be more inclined to think that this thing would pick up the pace in the second half after they got their legs underneath them. But, you know, you would expect that the first quarter would be a little bit slow and it just wouldn't be enough possessions. Remember, Buffalo only had 3 possessions against Denver in the entire first half. You know, I mean, and again, Denver scored quick on their first drive. In 2.5 minutes, they scored a touchdown, and Buffalo only touched the ball 3 times in that entire rest of that first half. I mean, so I think that pace will be similar here. It's just going to be really hard for these guys to get adjusted here. 51.5 is a huge total. I like the under in the game, but I'm going to play the under 24.5 in the first half, as you need that extra score to get over 24. We get home at, you know, 14-10, 17-7, all that stuff gets us under 24.5 here, and I think we're in a good shape as far as the under for the game is concerned.
I definitely love you looking at that under for the first half, especially if you take into the equation in that second half, we could see this game pushing to overtime, which could push us over that total. Now, when we look at the side, this is the tightest spread of all of the matchups this weekend, Mark. Are you leaning one way or another? To me, it comes down to which quarterback you can really trust more, Lamar or Josh Allen. If you're getting both of these quarterbacks with that ball in the last minute, who do you trust to get that ball down the field? And does that come into factor when you're looking at this matchup?
Well, my heart is with Josh Allen in Buffalo, so I hope the Bills win the game. That said, there's a couple of interesting notes here. Lamar Jackson has opened as an underdog and then closed as a favorite 6 times in his career. All 6 of those games, he's 6-0 straight up and against the number, and he's covered those games by an average of 9 points per game. So that favors the Ravens. There's another way to cut this game in half when we talk about it, that the Bills and Josh Allen have covered the second half spread in 11 straight games that he's played this year, not including week 18 when he didn't play in the second half. Allen's 15-2 in the second half against the number this year, the best mark of any quarterback in the NFL. And under the Bills, under Allen, the Bills are 63% rather in the second half. So since 2005, he's been the most profitable quarterback in the second half. You may want to look at this game and go Ravens first half money line and then play the Bills in the second half.
Okay, so what are your other thoughts for especially Commanders and the Lions, like 55.5? Now, are we looking at the dome and saying this game's going to have a ton of points? Because I have an issue getting to some of the Commanders props this weekend the way I'm looking at it, because especially if Montgomery's back for the Lions, I see them breaking off 8, 9, 10, 11 play drives, and they're going to bleed the clock, and the Commanders just won't have the opportunities to get back in that game. So as we shift to another one, what are your thoughts on that one?
I mean, I'm laying it with the Lions here. Every time that Washington has had to step up in class this year, they've come up short. They played 4 playoff teams during the regular season. They lost all 4 of those games. 4 of their 5 losses this year have been on the road. But when you get them to step up to an elite-level team in class like Baltimore and Philadelphia like they did this year, they lost both those games by at least a touchdown. So this is a Lions team, one, that their coach never takes their foot off the gas. So even if they're up late, you're not going to see them trying to run the clock out. They're going to continue to push and continue to try to put points up on the board. And this is a Washington secondary that can be had. I mean, that's really what it boils down to here. I mean, as much as Marshawn Lattimore has come back and been okay, I suppose, you got way too many receivers. Not only that, a tight end and a running back out of the backfield and Jahmyr Gibbs who can catch the ball. I mean, there's just enough weapons here, too many weapons, I think, for Washington to be able to keep up with. And push comes to shove, guys. As good as Jaden Daniels is, if you're asking him to continually have to throw to put this team, get this team back in the game, if their defense can't keep this thing within a 1-score game for the first half, I don't like the game script of Jaden Daniels having to continually throw his way for two plus quarters to try to keep up with this Lions team. It's a bad recipe, especially for a banged up defense. I know the secondary for the Lions has had challenges, but if you're going to get this defensive front to be able to pin their ears back and go nonstop, either Jaden Daniels is going to have to run this entire game and continue to move the ball for Washington, or if he has to throw it down the field, he's probably going to end up in a couple of interception spots, and the Lions can run away with this thing.
Yeah, it might be a nice spot, Mark, to look at that defensive touchdown here for the Detroit Lions, as Jaden Daniels really has been put in those situations over, what, the last five games, winning those games on that last possession with a minute left out there on the field. So he's been in a hard place, but a team that should be in a hard place is the Houston Texans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. We know the Chiefs are coming in nice and rested into this matchup, and I'm actually shocked the Houston Texans, even though their defense looked great versus the Chargers, aren't a bigger dog in this matchup. They're an 8.5-point dog. We know the storyline on Patrick Mahomes. Do you think he breaks that storyline where he comes out and dominates, wins this by double digits, or are you on the Houston Texans?
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs this year have been favored by at least a touchdown seven times. They're 0-7 against the spread. They can't cover big numbers because their offense can't put points up on the board. In the matchup when these two teams played back on December 21st, the Chiefs won by 8 points. They also were gifted 10 points in the first half off of two Houston turnovers, and including the first drive of the game for Houston. They threw an interception that led to a Chiefs touchdown. Then they got another turnover in the first half that led to a field goal. They don't get those 10 free points from Houston, they don't win the game. And I just don't trust Kansas City to cover big numbers here. So I'm on the Texans in this spot. And don't be surprised, guys, if the Texans are in a position to win this game. You know, the hardest part about beating the Chiefs is your coach can't have that pucker factor and tense up at the end if they have a lead. They've got to learn how to keep their foot on the throat of the Chiefs and go all out and be willing to lose the game as opposed to, you know, just playing not to lose it as opposed to playing to win it. I think there's a real script here for Houston to be able to stay tight in this game, keep it close. But this is not a Chiefs offense that anybody fears at this point in time. And we've seen that time in and time out again this season.
When this line opened, I said the exact same thing. Is like the Chiefs will win this game, but they're not going to cover that point. And betting them in game, if you can get them at -2 or -3, they may cover that, but they're not covering 8.5
or 8 points.
Going to end up at.
I teased the Chiefs and the Eagles, right? Take the Eagles down, pick and tease the Chiefs under the field goal, and you have two low totals, so it works out well.
Mark, we got about 20 seconds. Any thoughts on the Rams and the Eagles?
I can't figure out the Rams. I don't think the Eagles are losing the game, but I'll take the points.
Okay, Mark, we really appreciate you being here, joining us for a couple of minutes, taking your time on a Friday. You guys will be back in the next couple of minutes here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Okay, you guys, it's Game Time Decisions over here on the grid. I'm Joe Madden, joined by Tom Vecchio. We just had Mark Zinno on for a hot minute there in the last segment talking some divisional matchups, so thank you to him for coming on. But, Tom, it sounds like we've got some news out there in the baseball world.
We do. Breaking news that the prize Japanese pitcher Sasaki, shockingly enough, is signing with the Dodgers. Maybe wasn't expected by some. It was largely expected by others that he would be joining Ohtani and Yamamoto. Ohtani, one of his former teammates. They are now putting together quite a pitching staff over there, obviously, with getting Blake Snell. They'll have Tyler Glasnow back. It's going to be all Dodgers every single day throughout the baseball season. The future's on them. Whatever it might be, Dodgers, 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 not only this year, but for many years to come. So Sasaki officially signing with the Dodgers, as he announced on Instagram.
Tom, should we just like go to the book right now and bet the Dodgers to take the World Series? Because it's just feeling that way, right?
It certainly does. Obviously, a lot of people have been betting on the Mets as like, you know, the question is going to be, oh, if you're not betting on the Dodgers, who's going to be the team that gets past them? It's probably going to be the Mets just with the talent that they have and the moves that they will continue to make. But man, it is looking like a two-team race in the ML, or at least in the NL for baseball this year, which is not necessarily what we want to see as fans. And what I said at the beginning of last season, I think there's going to be value in betting against the Dodgers every single day. because we're going to see lines when they're at home. They're going to be minus 300, minus 400, as we saw last year on the money line at home. And they're going to lose games. They will lose games at home as they did last year to the Rockies when they're minus 300 because it's baseball and weird stuff happens. The Dodgers aren't going to go 162-0. They may win 100 games or 105 games, but they're still going to lose. And all the games that they lose are so incredibly valuable.
You're so right, Alex. There, the overreaction though of the books when the other team does go up is definitely where you want to jump in on the Dodgers to get them just a straight up win as that line moves. And now, Tom, you've got me all excited. I can't wait to bet those Yurfies because we know the Dodgers were so strong, the Yankees so strong at getting those Yurfies last season. So we're on the countdown to baseball, but there's some great college basketball action happening today. There's one game that's already kicked off, so we're coming close to the end of the first half here between Ohio and Akron. I did roll with Akron's team total. They currently are leading this game 39-22. If you want to jump in on Akron, you got to lay 14.5 at the moment. I don't love that live look because coming into this, they were only right around a 2.5, 3.5 point favorite. So I wouldn't lay the 14.5, but if you can jump in on a team total, the original team total was 82.5. I still like 90.5 to the over if you can get that number. So looking at Akron to come out nice and strong. Lack of defense between these two teams at totals 157.5. That has actually dropped a little bit because Ohio hasn't been putting up those points. So I would still look at that one to go over. We then have a matchup here between Providence and Villanova. Now, Villanova is an 8.5 point favorite in this one. Laying 8.5 is minus 118. I'm going to lay it with Villanova. I don't trust Providence as much defensively to slow down Villanova in this matchup. The total is 139.5, and I do think Villanova will do their share of slowing down Providence and be able to break away in this game. Their ability to hit those free throws is outstanding. They're hitting those free throws like 79.5% of the time, and that's one thing that just drives me crazy when I'm watching basketball and you're betting on a team for them not to be able to hit those. So their ability to hit those is strong, and then Eric Dixon coming out here, one of their best players on the court, I think he can get to his 25-plus points tonight. That's coming in at plus 108. So I will be doing that Big East showdown between these two teams. Home court for Villanova, I'm all over it. I also want to look at the matchup between Indiana and Ohio State. So there's a bunch of other games that I'm just staying off, Tom. VCU, St. Joseph, home dog, 3.5-point dog. I don't want anything to do with that game. I think it's a tight one. St. Joseph, I lean towards them getting the win, but I just can't get my money there. Robert Morris versus Green Bay. Again, another home dog in Green Bay. I can't trust them, but can I trust Robert Morris to lay 6.5? I just can't. The total 144.5, though, is interesting to that over. But when we look at Indiana versus Ohio State, this one kicking off at 8 o'clock, we have a spread of 7.5 in this one, total of 150. And I just think this total's too high. I'm looking at this Indiana team. They've lost their last couple here. Battle of the Big Ten, and Ohio State's so strong defensively. I'm expecting them to really lock down in this one. Strong defensive battle between these two. So I will take the under 150.5. Youngstown versus Milwaukee. That one has a total of 146.5. Going to stay off that as well. I'm just not in love with it. And then Iowa versus UCLA. I think this one is a nice one to look at the road dog in this one. Iowa is coming in as a 5.5-point dog on the road. Now, this is moved. They were up to a 7-point dog when this line first opened. We got a total of 150.5. I'm thinking they can keep it tight. You look at UCLA, they just haven't been covering these big spreads. They haven't covered a spread this month, the month of January. So I'm not going to lay the points with them here. Again, that line has dropped down to a 5.5. So that's basically what I'm liking other than DePaul. I think DePaul's another team to look at here on the road versus Georgetown. Their defense has struggled to defend against those threes. So they're going to have to really step up here versus Georgetown. But I think when we look at Georgetown, this isn't a team that takes or makes a ton of threes out there on the court. So I think with that factor in play, that DePaul should be able to roll strong. Now, DePaul is coming in as an 8.5 point dog on the road. That has seen line movement as well. They were a 9.5 point dog earlier, but I also like the under 139.5, Tom. So that's what I'm liking for college basketball. I'm not sure if you had anything that you had circled on the college basketball slate. It's not the best of slates today. Let's just say that.
Yeah, certainly a smaller slate of action gets started early tomorrow between Alabama and Kentucky. You know, nice 12 p.m. start before we get some football underway. 178.5 is the total for that game. Certainly leaning on the under on that one. You know, big SEC matchup. We're kind of getting to that important point of the season for so many of these teams. So under on that one to start the day may not be the most exciting, but under 178.5 is where I'll look.
Yeah, unders are never exciting and fun to bet, but when these teams are missing those free throws, Tom, it's a good thing to be on some of those unders, that's for sure. You guys will be back in the next couple of minutes, just coming up against the great here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday, everyone. Welcome back to Game Time Decisions over here on Sports Grid. I'm Joe Madden. I'm joined by Tom Vecchio. Tom, we jumped into the NBA slate already, but there's a couple games that we haven't gone over. I want to start looking at this matchup here between the Charlotte Hornets and the Chicago Bulls. Now, the Bulls at home in this one, they're laying 4 points. This total's actually dropped a little bit down. It was 236 when we kicked off the show. It's dropped to 235, and I still don't think this is low enough. I'm just questioning how they're going to get to all of these points. Everything has to go perfect out there, in my opinion, for them to hit 235. What are your thoughts on this one?
My thoughts on this one is that we're not going to see a ton of points. You know, we're getting news that, you know, Zach LaVine is now questionable about 20 minutes ago or so. You know, based on what we see from these teams, you know, I think Mark Williams can have some points tonight, but I'm not necessarily loving the rebounds. So I'm on Williams under 11.5 rebounds. I just don't love the matchup for him going up against Vooch. And, you know, it's got a little bit of juice. It is sitting at minus 136. So, of course, shop for the best lines available. That's always important if you can find it somewhere better. But when it comes to, you know, team rebounds per game or total rebounds per game, I like what we're seeing from Chicago, as we have seen not just for them this season, but or Vooch this season. But, you know, Mark Williams, and you're going to look back and say, oh, he had 12 rebounds when they played Chicago, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I just can't see myself getting to that many rebounds, especially if I'm leaning on the under. Like, I just don't know how many possessions we're going to be seeing back and forth. So Williams under, the game under. You know, if you're looking at player props and points, you have to wait on maybe some of that LaVine news. But probably one of the – it's got a close spread, which is not what we have for some of these games. You know, tonight's late, we're only going to have 14.5 with the Celtics or 11.5 points here or there. It actually is a closer spread game, but I just don't know if we're going to see a ton of points in it.
Yeah, Charlotte is only averaging 106.5 points per game, Tom. And then we look at the Chicago Bulls and we look at what they did on Wednesday versus Atlanta. They only put up 94 points in that matchup. I just don't see it hitting that high of a game. So, yes, the Bulls can push the pace, but they're just not getting the ball in the net. So I can't go there. We do have a matchup between the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs as well. This one, the Spurs, another home dog. I love these home dogs. They're plus 2 right now on that spread, plus 110 on the money line, total of 239 in this one. Now, we saw Memphis get the double-digit win on Wednesday. Can they do it again? Can they come out strong again versus the Spurs and cover the spread and get us a win? That's where I'm questioning. I think Jackson will come out nice and strong, be able to get those threes on the board. Victor Wembanyama, how much resistance is he going to provide in this one? So many questions around this game for me, Tom.
Yeah, and Grizzlies are the better team overall. I think they come away with the win ultimately. 239 is certainly a high line. The lack of defense from the Spurs can certainly get us there. One quick note I want to make is that Kyrie Irving is officially available to play. We were talking about this when Mark was here between the Thunder and the Mavericks. That line is 6.5 in favor of the Thunder. And there's a note from Jason Kidd, the Mavericks head coach, that Kyrie is expected to play around 33 minutes. So that's important depending on, you know, what props you may be on. Obviously, it impacts the game overall. But I'm still on the under on this game. And again, I kind of lean with the Mavericks, as Mark said, you know, good, like, I don't want to say bounce back game for them, but just like a motivational game for them after, like you said, getting knocked out in the playoffs, bit of a letdown spot for the Thunder after a massive win last night. So, you know, coming up against 7 o'clock as we are about to hit a break, important time in NBA news right now as we are about to hit tip off. And it should be noted that Jokic for the Nuggets is still listed as a game time decision with his elbow issue he's got going on.
Yeah, well, hopefully he gets into that game for sure. That late game, the 10:40 window, is the LA Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets. We touched on this. Austin Reeves, I'm heavy on. I like laying the points with the Lakers here, but that has burnt me in the past. It burnt me majorly last season laying those points with the Lakers. But do you think this is one where the Lakers can at home cover those 11 points versus the Brooklyn Nets?
You would like to think so, right? After the especially this road trip that the Nets have been on a couple games. Again, like they beat Portland, you know, what does that show us? And then you get blown out by the Clippers by 50 some odd points. Like, this is a game the Lakers need to take care of, and just as straightforward as possible, they should be able to cover this game. That's really what it comes down to.
I love that word, should. That's exactly how I'm feeling about the Lakers in this matchup. They should be able to get it done. Just, will they show up? Will LeBron James, will AD show up in this matchup? I'm really thinking that they will. We know those guys aren't at 100%, but they need to step up. Look for Austin Reeves to be able to come out, get those threes on the board. But you guys, we are coming up against a break here. After the break, don't go anywhere, because we got Brady Cannon coming in. He's going to update us on the American Express. And then we're going to look at the divisional matchup this weekend. We'll be back in the next couple minutes here on Game Time Decisions.